Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go here with our Rockets talk this morning. How about our... Is Dallas not almost identical, only much better than the Houston Rockets? I mean, watching Luka just dribble through his legs, wait. Now, he was a hell of a lot more effective than James was. And, oh, my goodness, you want to talk about them at the end of the first half and at the end of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, and those are, you know, end of the first half, it's awesome to go into the half with a big lead, which was, you know, that they did, which they did. And then at the end of the game, when it's crunch time and you've got to, everybody has got to produce. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
When you have a go-to guy that you can count on.
Well, the Rockets have that too.
Well, yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. I don't want to rewrite history. James has definitely been that guy. You don't win the amount of games they've won without having a clutch guy you can go to. And he is the clutch guy. But, I mean, Luka right now, when you watch the way he maneuvers around the court and his feel for the game from his, I thought he was special his first year. Like, holy crap, this is, you know, he reminded me of a little less explosive version of Tracy McGrady, the way he played. I was just trying to come up with a comp, and there's just not a great comp for Luka right now. Maybe it's because he's a white guy, and I'm trying to subconsciously white guy comp him, which I should know better than Dell doing the NFL comps. I mean, you got to cross-racial him.
Well, isn't his range and the way he plays, he's bird-like? I mean, you can compliment
him. Yeah, but he's
a
way more fluid athlete than Larry Bird.
Yeah,
and he's a legitimate ball handler. Like, he's got the range of Bird, but, you know, Bird was a 3-4, and Luka's a 1-2-3, I guess. I think he's a lead. He's a lead, too. I don't know
Bird
who his comp is.
More handles than you're giving credit for.
No, he had good handles. I'm just saying he wasn't taking anyone off the dribble out in the perimeter. Like, that wasn't his game.
Yeah, well, nobody was. I mean, it's not like.
Yeah, it's a different game. A one was a one. And yeah. Right. Well, that's why I'm trying to comp him to somebody.
Well, James. I mean, that's.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, really, you know, his play, the way he plays the game is like it. But I think
he
there is
a Euro step. He
But he's got a better. But he's got an actual mid-range game too. Like he, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
They,
there's something.
Don't they allow him to? I don't think you're allowed to here. I don't think
you
allowed to shoot a mid-range.
I don't know if you still aren't, but yeah, you weren't. It's funny. My sons. I was out. I really love my sons' basketball coaches. They were out yesterday, and I went and caught the last 15 minutes of practice. Their little scrimmage of 5-on-5, and they're really teaching them real zone concepts and basketball concepts, flashing to the high post and against the zone and slip screens and stuff. I was like, oh, this is great. They're learning actual basketball stuff. And it's funny, one of my sons got in trouble for shooting like a foot inside the three-point line. Don't take that. That's a bad shot. If you're going to shoot and these are kind of, you know, their coach, I think, was a huge Butler basketball fan. I don't know. He probably played a lot of basketball growing up also, but he said, if you're going to take that shot, take it a foot back further behind the three. And that whole concept that the Rockets believe in has really permeated a lot of basketball, because it actually is smart.
It is smart. I mean, it's not the
if it seems like common sense now, but no one, but how, why didn't it pop? I guess shifts feel like common sense now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so much more. I mean, there were so many more. I listen. You got down low. You had big men that could play. You had big men that had low post ability back in the day. Every team had. Almost every team had that. Now, nobody has that. So it's rare. So the three-pointer is so much more valuable. But look at what's around Luka. I mean, honestly, I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. was unbelievable last
year.
He was just stupid good. He ain't going to be like that all the time. But, I mean.
It's not unbelievable.
It is, no, but we watched them against the Lakers. Now, they don't have Porzingis. And, you know, so they're going to be better. But me and JT are watching, and JT's like, look how crap this team is. Luka's got nothing. He's got nothing to work with. What if this GM? I'm like, well, you got it. I mean, how many guys can you have? Porzingis who's hurt.
I'm going to read this stat line. Tell me who this is. Ready? 33 point. Hold on. Here's the stat line. 33 points, 16 rebounds, 11 assists, 8 turnovers.
Sounds like James.
Sounds exactly like James.
But it's Luka.
They really are. It's a little different, but it's very similar.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Stephen Silas is a guy that comes over from Dallas.
Well, I wonder
comes
how
over here.
He's watching that and going, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Didn't do this. Wish I hadn't done this.
Yeah, James played, by the way. Right. The ankle's better now.
His ankle's better.
His New Year's
his
Eve ankle
wasn't
is
so
better.
Much, but his ankle was better.
Nah, shot was broke.
Yeah.
Shot was broke. Ankle was better. But it's a Rocket team that to this, you know, we know he's not the best player, but Christian Wood right now is the guy that is the exciting player. I feel like James is just on loan right now. He's like when I had Lukaku with Everton and Lukaku said he wanted to leave. We thought he was going to re-sign and then he decided to leave. And you just don't have the same. You're just waiting for him to go. James feels like a Premier League player who's waiting to go to a bigger team, and a smaller team's just looking for the right deal so they can send him out.
I will say this. The Nets certainly could use a lot of defense because they're not good defensively, so they could really
use James. Yeah,
yeah, they can use James. There's no question.
There is a thought that actually some of the big teams right now, if they start to panic early in the season, might be willing to try to give up more. It's just like, what does more look like for you? When you have a team with two superstars, I got news for you.
Well, maybe
you don't. There's not enough on your roster when you build like.
Well, that. I don't. Is the package of LeVert and Dinwiddie and Allen and I don't know. Is that it's maybe they weren't giving that up before, and maybe they're like, well, we got to do that. Listen,
I think you're the Blazers. Then you're a nice team. Well, not even the Blazers because McCallum
Kyrie,
is
Durant and James. You be
no, no, no. I'm talking about the Rockets.
Then you just got
a bunch of collection of pretty good guys.
Well, I will say this, but look at, I mean, James has got Christian Wood, he's got John Wall, he's got Eric Gordon, and he just got his ass kicked by Luka with what? I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. was awesome. Don't get me wrong. You can't take that away.
Well, if you tried to trade,
he was the difference in the game.
Listen, but if you tried to trade Luka and James,
and Finney Smith and Kleber and what?
But John, if you told everyone Luka and James are both $45 million, who are you trading for? They're trading for Luka. Now part of it is he's younger. That you can't get away from
not
that.
Like that though. I don't know. I just want Luka more than I want James.
Yeah, you just you feel the upside with
if
James.
They were the same age, I'd still
you
want
feel Luka. Like you know exactly like it's not going to get any better with James.
No.
And what it is great with James. So don't get me wrong. With Luka, you feel like there's still the projection of hope. You don't know what he could become. With James, he's become what he's going to become, and that includes the on the court and the off the court stuff. And it's not changing. It's just coming to light. People behind the scenes have known it, and I think without a question. James is not a selfish player. He shares the ball. I think James will fit into what he needs to. I think James is off the field, off the court stuff, and his reputation now for wanting things the way he wants them at all times. I just think that right now is just a huge deterrent for the Rockets moving him for a superstar package. Just, I don't think anyone's going to go out of their way to say, we just got to have him, and they're going to Bill O'Brien this thing with a package for Tunsil. Because let's face it, Laremy Tunsil, for as good as he was, James is more impactful as a player than a one left tackle is.
Oh,
and you still can't. I mean, is there a James? Is there a Bill O'Brien of NBA? I feel like it's mostly smarter people now. There's no Isaiah Thomas anymore.
Yeah, well, but let's face it.
Will Jordan do it?
Let's face it. You're limited on the number of teams though that actually have players that you want.
And that's the problem. Also, is where James would want to go.
And draft picks aren't nearly as
No, I know. So. It's a tough spot. the Rockets right now fall to 2-3, but you see what the Mavs have, and with Porzingis back, they are going to be a factor this year, especially if they get involved before trade deadline and move somebody. And I could see them as a team that somebody who gets cut would be, you know, the quote-unquote second waiver wire where you have the buyouts. They're going to be a difficult team to handle. And the Rockets, for the most part, I mean, I say that as the Mavs are 3-4. But when Porzingis gets back, I think it's going to be a little different. But the Rockets, I think this is who they're going to be. They're going to have flashes. James will be up. James will be down. But if James is not up, it's still going to be hard for them to win, like it always has been.
Yeah. Well, the Mavs are 3-4, and Brooklyn is 3-4. Brooklyn, who looked like the best, greatest team in NBA history, the first two games are 1-4 since then because they can't play any defense. So again, they could really, really, really use
James. A defender like James, yeah, kind of an on the ball, lockdown defender.
But when you look at this, when you look at the league, the Suns now. The Suns are a good basketball team.
Suns have young talent.
They got a lot of young talent.
Dallas. And Paul is a stabilizer. Say what you want about Chris Paul. Ask Oklahoma City how he helped them. Ask the Rockets how he helped them. Ask the Clippers. Where does Chris Paul, where do his teams suck? His teams don't suck.
No, they don't suck.
He teaches people how to play the right way. Now, he might, you know, he also goes into dad mode, so maybe I'm sure young players get tired of that. But I think he's a perfect fit for what you need for Devin Booker and that young team.
Yeah.
The Suns are a new pain in the ass in us. That's why I never thought the Rockets, it was a given they were making the playoffs. The Suns are a come up team. I think the Blazers are just fine. The Nuggets don't show any signs of going anywhere.
Well, they're off. They're struggling. And actually, they're behind the Rockets right now. And the Rockets are out of the playoffs. The Nuggets will be up there before all is said.
It's a weird start. Yeah. It's kind of a weird start to the season.
Right. Well, and the Suns got a little swagger. What did Devin say the other day, Del?
Did he have something ugly to say to Paul George? What's that?
What was that about?
I mean, it was ugly. Paul George has heard a lot of stuff like this recently. I mean, Seth Curry called him
didn't he refer to him as soft or something?
And then dropped the N-word on him.
Do you feel comfortable talking about what we talked about off the air that if team light skin comes after you a certain way, is that considered like, whoa? Then you say that is. I'm asking you a setup question. I already know that's considered like
as a meme in the culture.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not looking to hear. I'm not looking to hear from team light skin to call me a soft ass. I mean, it just doesn't play well in my ear for team light skin to do that.
I'm the same way if an Irish person says that to, like if an Irish guy said that to John.
Yeah, if an Irish guy said, called me a drunk. I'd be like, hey.
Yeah.
What the?
It's not good in the culture, yeah.
No.
Because what's he? Some pasty little Irish guy, you know?
I mean, there are some, now let's not say there aren't some tough light skin dudes. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, if you're Paul George, you look to your left and you got Devin Booker with curly hair.
What? Hold on a second. Now we're getting to the real. I see. This is the secret discussion that a lot of white people don't know about inside.
And you call me the colorism.
They don't know about this, but I do about things like curly hair. You don't want to see a guy next to you with curly hair.
Devin Booker, you look up and Devin Booker just calls you a soft ass, then dropped an N-word on you, and you're like, Joe, curly hair, that what?
Wait a minute. What? Curly hair's out.
I mean, it's curly.
Oh, there's a whole thing.
Curly
guys.
Hair is a way for me to say something without saying something. That's okay. All.
There's
That's
a
all.
Whole thing that could last a full hour. If you learn about all the schisms inside the culture.
I think it's going to be hard to talk about that in some instances. But
well, Dell has to.
On the other side, we're going to talk about the Texans GM search.
There's some names of head coaches and.
We're going to talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. But right now, we're going to talk about Doc Linville and a way to start your new year in a great way. Doc Linville is one of the leading, if not right now, the leading hair replacement guys. And it's so different than it used to be. It's so much easier. It's such a much better process. The neo grafting, find out about it. I did it. I found out about it. The doc had my consultation. I was like, yes, I'm in. Let me try this. And 8 months later, holy cow. And all you do, I mean, you just sit there and let, you know, it was in the chair for about 4 hours. Fred was in there a lot longer because he had a lot more work to do. But it's unbelievable when it all grows in And it's, you're like, oh my goodness, what a difference it is. So if you are follically challenged and you hate it and you don't want to be, and you're just like, hey, life is too short to live like that. Go out, go get this job done. Go to 975hair.com and see how easy this process is. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Kind of reverted back to isolation basketball. And, we didn't put enough pressure on their defense. We didn't move their defense around. Obviously, it's a process of kind of flipping that switch a little bit, but yeah, we were way too stagnant. Didn't move the ball enough to put pressure on them and make it hard on them. I think you probably saw our amount of five out possessions were minimal tonight, and that's got to be fixed.
Well, welcome to Houston, Stevie. Can I call him Stevie? I mean, we're guys.
Yeah, you.
We're
you,
guys.
You'll get to know.
Welcome. That was Steve and Silas.
I like that he's calling it out.
Yeah.
I like that he's actually saying it.
I don't mean nothing.
It will.
It doesn't mean a thing.
It will.
No, it doesn't. It won't mean a thing. Oh, really? He's the first James Harden coach to say, our ball was stagnant.
As soon as
how about the rebounding? Out-rebounded by 16.
Yeah, you got killed on the boards.
How about out-assisted by 7?
Christian Wood has to hit the board for them. The boards. He has to. It's just non-negotiable. He had 7 or 8 yesterday.
Yeah, he needs to be.
He's averaging 10 a game. You're the big. Yeah. You got to go get the rebounds. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, it didn't help that Boogie played 3 minutes.
I know. I'm telling you, the Boogie thing is going to be. It's going to be more name than game. I mean, I think he'll have some moments in flash, but we're talking about two very drastic lower leg injuries for a guy who's not small.
Well, and it's being thrown out of the game that hurts.
I guess so. That's why he was gone.
Yeah,
I came back from my kid's basketball. Oh yeah, I already told you all that, and I'm like, well, it must be a situation where he's dealing with stuff. Oh well, that's good. Yeah, what did he get thrown out for this time? Stuff. How the hell did he get thrown out in 3 minutes?
He went boogie. He just goes boogie.
Rockets fans have wanted Cousins forever. I've never been a fan. He just has the worst attitude. It's like watching all over an even more cranky Rasheed Wallace, if that's possible. And it's probably not possible. He's like watching Rasheed Wallace all over again. How Wallace would just get texts, like it was almost like he wanted to get texts it was just a thing he liked to do until he got suspended for a game. Like, wait, there's a maximum amount? Oh, yeah. Dwight Howard, too. What are you doing, Dwight? There's no reason to get a tech. No. You can say something to a ref, but you know there are certain things you can't say that are going to get you a tech. Why would you do that? We'll get back to more Rockets. This is the first time we're really delving into the Rockets, and we've got some other stuff. By the way, I've gotten two texts from black guys. One who said, one who says, it's always a good day in radio when you get a team light skin reference in the first segment. And the other one just said, don't start one of, and this one, this guy is Team Lightskin. He said, don't start and I won't be none.
Look, I'm not going to pretend like Team Lightskin will put in that work if they need to. Just depends on who they are. And it's really more of a meme than anything else. But growing up, you're like, man, this light-skinned dude ain't going to do nothing. I mean, times have changed. But as a kid, you're like, you always kind of looked at light-skinned like, all right, buddy. Okay, sure. Okay.
That's how we look at the English.
Who, as Americans or German?
Well, kind of German-Americans.
Okay.
In the neighborhoods where we grew up, in Pecan Grove, where the German neighborhood was, we would look at the English kids and be like, oh, you're going to go for your crumpets? Or like we'd do some kind of fake English accent, and we're like, they're not going to do anything.
No, they can't.
Yeah. The English part of Pecan Grove is not going to
do anything. All right, let's talk about this Texans thing. This, so...
A lot of permissions being Omar asked for.
Now, yesterday, we didn't talk about it, but it was a story out there.
I didn't see it about Omar Khan yesterday.
Yeah. No. Omar Khan is that is something that really, really, really needs to be talked about, is Omar Khan coming in here, because he's been with the Steelers for how long? He's second in command to Colbert, right? And he is a cap wizard, apparently. He know, and oh, by the way, the Texans are in cap hell.
Let me tell you what Omar Khan. So my dad
knew Omar. He was at Tulane as like a GA, as an assistant at Tulane when he was there. Then he was at Pittsburgh when my dad was at Pittsburgh. He said Omar would come in, and he said, we had free agency where we had to, you know, after the draft, you're trying to sign guys. He said, we had guys, and I'd say, Omar, he said, we'd get on the phone with the guys we wanted, and Omar would say, Larry, we can offer that guy that much. And if the agent tried to say more, he says, okay, move on to the next guy on the sheet. And they move to the next guy. Like, they have a discipline in Pittsburgh that is in place where they have a discipline in the way they draft. They have a discipline with their money. And he said, Omar is super sharp with how he handles
stuff. It's the exact opposite of what we did here. It's the exact opposite. Give him the money. Give him the money.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd be, you know, I don't know how he'd be as a GM. I just know from a money standpoint, he has an idea on money for sure. And I also know that he's a guy that doesn't want to leave Pittsburgh unless it's the right situation. Like, he's one of those guys that I wonder how it would go if Jack Easterby's still in the building.
You know, I'm seeing so many, and we're going to break it down.
But didn't you say you heard that the next GM could decide whether or not Jack Easterby stayed?
Oh, yeah. That it will be his decision on Jack Easterby, and whether or not Omar Khan is an Easterby guy, it certainly will be. Whether or not he's getting the okay from Easterby to Cal, so we'll see how that works out for him. But Jack Easterby can be an asset to the organization as long as Jack Easterby has his role, a role that doesn't involve personnel. If he's going to be a life coach, if he's going to help players, if he's going to be, you know, a guy that can be behind the scenes giving positive messages, then that's fine. As long as he's not behind the scenes stabbing people in the back, and as long as he's not behind the scenes trying to make personnel
decisions. You're just letting the contract play out at this point. What do you mean giving players positive message? They're going to think he's corny.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, I've already heard some of the players think he's corny.
Yesterday, we're going to play Deshaun in a little bit. It was really, really interesting what Deshaun had to say. Really interesting what Deshaun had to say, and we'll play that in just a little bit. But we didn't talk about Ozzie Newsome yesterday either.
Mm-hmm.
And Dell and I did. We broke it down just a little bit. How awesome would it be for Ozzie Newsome to come in here, create a structure with his experience, with his resume, with how much people would respect Ozzie Newsome, with how much he could form a structure for this organization in a couple, he's 64 years old, so maybe he only wants to do it for so long, and in a couple, 3 years, he has someone that he's mentoring to take over like he did with DaCosta in Baltimore. How awesome would it be to have the Ravens' structure of an organization as opposed to what we're doing here?
No, it would be... it's like a friend of ours said, if he's interested, you don't even interview. You don't disrespect Ozzie by even making him interview.
No.
You just say, if you want it, it's yours. It's that simple. Right. You either want Ozzie or you don't.
Yeah, right.
Because if he wanted this job, then you roll with it. And I don't know if he wants to do all the stuff that it would take, but if he does, I mean, he's still involved in the organization with the Ravens.
Yeah.
So if he wants it. I just know that some names. Did you see Joe Burrow's name was mentioned?
Joe Burrow?
Not Joe Burrow. I'm sorry. Joe Brady.
Joe Brady would be awesome as the GM.
Joe Brady has been. They've requested permission to speak with Joe Brady as head coach as well. So they're already interviewing. I'm telling you, I don't think they're going to be. I think they're going to be hired separately. They might be hired. Like, if you brought in a guy who's unaffiliated with a team or who could move right now, like Ozzie could probably move right now. Probably.
They'd probably let him. It'd be interesting to see what his contract is with the team.
Just let him. You can do whatever you want. Like, the owner could say, yeah, we'll let you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would depend. I don't know. Because you could do that, and then they could help you with the search on coach.
No, it doesn't matter. They'll be out of the playoffs this week anyway.
The Ravens?
Yeah.
That's a good game. The Ravens are a favorite.
The Ravens, I know they're the favorite at Tennessee.
They run a lot of triple option
last year too against Tennessee.
Yeah, but they're a different team now. It's not as much. Lamar Jackson throwing anymore.
Still going to have to depend on him throwing the football in a playoff.
But how good were you? Were you a fan of that, of the defense you saw from the Titans?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I didn't like it too much.
No. Well, they don't get any pressure on you. But here's the deal: is they're not going to get pressure on him, but they will contain him maybe from running.
If you got a lot of zone read and option and triple option they're running right now, they're running a completely different offense. I'm not sure. I think this is going to be. I went back and watched some of it yesterday. I'm like, holy crap! They're going to have to prepare for a totally different Ravens. The Ravens have almost gotten completely away from what they were doing last year. It's a different look this year. It's a lot of Dobbins they're going to have to stop. I'll just tell you that.
Well, we'll see. You know, stopping the run as opposed to having to stop the pass, because the Titans aren't very good at stopping the pass. But you know what? That's not the Ravens' game. If the Ravens try to play into that and take advantage of that, it's
I think the game hinges on Derrick Henry.
Well, here's the deal, though. That monkey on his back is turning into a gorilla.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why you got to stop Derrick Henry. You can't get in a situation, because Henry was beating him up last year.
Yep.
You can't let them control tempo. We're getting off topic here for a second, but, you know, it's just Ozzie. It's Ozzie Newsome's team. Ozzie's the one who traded up for Lamar Jackson. Ozzie drafted Haloti Ngata. Ozzie's had some bad drafts. Everyone does when you go back and study it. But Ozzie knows what it looks like.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Texans have ever had a GM who knows what it looks like.
No, Ozzie, I think you're absolutely right. If Ozzie Newsome said, I would come, you just, okay, everything else is shut down. You've already gotten, I think you've gotten your Rooney Rule. Okay. It's all, and you're actually hiring an African American, so you don't have to worry about
that. The Ravens shouldn't get a third round pick for Ozzie Newsome.
Well,
he's an African American, but that's not like a build up prospect.
He's a consultant for them now.
They would get a third round pick for Ozzie Newsome coming over.
You know what? Good for them.
Could the Texans flip Ozzie Newsome for a third?
No.
Ozzie and JJ?
Unless he becomes an owner.
Could they flip?
He has to move up.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, could they flip him and JJ for picks?
No. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. When we come back, we've got a lot more on this subject to talk about, and actually breaking down all of the jobs now that Anthony Lynn is out. It's interesting to see who has the best jobs in the NFL, and we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's our guy. That is John Clay Wolf, and he is unbelievable. And if you're looking for a great way to sell your car, the only way to sell your car, what you got to do first is go to GiveMeTheVin.com and find out what your car is worth. Because if you go to the dealership, if you go to CarMax, if you go to wherever you go to, or any, there's a bunch of people that buy cars right now. There's a bunch of people that are trying to buy cars. Any of those, you know what? You're going to get a price. And then you're going to go to GiveMeTheVin.com, and you're going to get a different price. And it's going to be higher. It's going to be more than CarMax is going to offer. Otherwise, John Clay Wolf will send you $100. And he doesn't send people $100. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. And dude will buy your car, and he will give you more money for it at GiveMeTheVin.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We just need a whole culture shift. We just need new energy. We need discipline. We need structure. We need a follower or a leader so we can follow that leader as players. And that's what we need. And, you know, we got to have, you know, the love of just not just the game of football, because that's what we do, but the love for people and the people in this organization. We all got to be on the same page. There's too many different minds and too many different ideas and too many people thinking that they have this power, and it's not like that. You know, we need someone that stand tall, and this is who we follow, and this is the way it goes. Like I said yesterday after the game, and we're going to do it this way to win. And like I said, I haven't met, I probably probably met him, I think, through passing Eric. I think after a couple games we played the Chiefs, haven't really sat down or been around him too much, but I heard nothing but great things about him. So, you know, we'll see where that go. But, yeah, I heard nothing but great things from you know, coach and all the players in the KC about Eric.
That was Deshaun yesterday. About the one most telling thing that he said is there's too many people around here that think they've got power.
And that's pretty. That's why the whole time I think Deshaun is respectful I think he's respectful of Jack Easterby. Most people don't think Jack is a bad person, but I've never felt like it was a lock that Deshaun. I think Deshaun. The most important thing for Deshaun is about doing what it takes to win. And if he thinks that Jack Easterby, I've said it before. I've talked to GM candidates who said, I don't want Easterby even in the building. I wouldn't even consider the Texans if Easterby's even in the building. That's why it'd be a big deal if what you're saying is true, is that they could get rid of him. That's the kind of thing that would have Deshaun Watson saying, okay, then get him out of the building. I want to win. I want the best people here. Yeah. Jack Easterby doesn't pick players. He's not supposed to do contracts. He's not supposed to do any of that stuff. And Deshaun's not stupid. He's on the team. He knows Jack was part of the group, the two-man group that put this bleep show together with this roster. Did you see the graphic that came out yesterday? All the head coaching openings that were open, and it showed the draft picks they have and the salary cap spot they have.
No, it's right here.
The Texans are the Texans are a disaster.
Well, and I want to go over it, actually. Okay, so the Jags, they were 1-15. They need a GM. They've got $77.6 million in cap space.
Right now.
They've got the number one overall pick. They've got two picks in the first. They've got the Rams and theirs. They've got two picks in the second. They've got theirs, which is the first pick, and Minnesota's. They're only losing for two free agents, if they lose them, Cam Robinson and Keelan Cole. No Pro Bowlers. Holy crap. You want to talk about walking into a great situation for a GM.
One guy on Twitter was arguing with me, actually, I think this is a much better situation than Jacksonville. Who wants to live in Jacksonville? Plus, you don't have the same pressure. Because you don't have any money or draft picks, you actually don't have pressure on you here. I'm like, what are you talking about? You'd rather not have picks and money? And you're trying to win as a GM? This is the most delusional thing. Trust me, there's plenty of people who would have no problem living in New York or Atlanta or Jacksonville. I'm not going to speak to Detroit, but those other places, there's a lot of people who would love to live in Jacksonville.
I mean, stop.
They want to win.
No. That, to me, because they got the number one overall pick, that looks like, to me, that's the most attractive. And listen, you're seeing all these guys.
It went from NFL New York to Jacksonville.
It went from New York to Jacksonville. But, well, I mean, look, now we'll see with Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. We'll see. And oh, by the way, you still got a quarterback there that you don't in New York that you don't know whether or not he can play. And when you get a real coach in there that can actually coach him up, we shall see. The Jets, they've got Christopher Johnson, which is a negative, the owner. Joe Douglas, which is up in the air. They've got $72.8 million in cap space. Second most in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's in New York City.
And they may be able to move Sam Darnold for a pick, although me and Bucky Brooks were talking about, what do you give up for Sam Darnold?
I think you give up a second rounder.
Who hasn't proven anything. He might – he's not worth a second based on his contract's coming up. So if you give a second for him, that's a lot for a rental quarterback who's never proven anything.
Or you come to terms on a deal with him that's going to be a little bit less.
It is, but –
because guess what?
It's going to stick.
He's a guy that's looking at saying, I might be out in the street.
But a little less might be $22 million.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that's sticking you for a lot of guaranteed money.
That's half of what quarterbacks are making now.
It would all depend on the contract.
Yeah.
It would really all depend on the contract. But
so they've got the second overall pick. They got two picks in both the first and third. They've got – they're losing Marcus May, Neville Hewitt, and Breshad Perriman. Maybe
I think they'll re-sign May.
They've got a chance to re-sign those guys, but that's awfully attractive. The Lions are the Lions. They've got 12.1 in cap space.
I don't think they're ever going to be.
They've
super
got
attractive.
The seventh overall pick and one pick in each of the first three rounds. But they're losing. They could lose Marvin Jones, Kenny Golladay, Romeo Okwara.
And I think they're going to move Stafford. Romeo Okwara. I think they're going to trade Stafford. I think Stafford's going to be the big offseason trade, and I think the
Colts, overall pick, one of these good quarterbacks.
I think the Colts or the Patriots are going to get involved.
That's total.
I don't know that from anybody, but I think those are the two that make the most sense.
They do. The Texans, vacant GM, they're negative 13.6 in cap space. Negative 13.6.
So all these people saying, "Well, you cut JJ, everything's fine. Everything's fine." What, you get to $4 million?
Yeah.
Do you hear what we're saying? No.
But we went through it yesterday. There's a lot of guys you're going to cut, and you're going. There's a lot of guys,
but there's a lot of roster spots
to
fill.
But that's the question. That's what a new GM has to come in and tell Deshaun is, look, dude, we can't do this in 1 year. Next year, I think we can win more than four games. We got to help you out defensively. We got a lot. We're going to have a lot of cuts here where we can save some money, where we can get some players. But there's a good chance that they're not going to be as good of players as we've got now. But we're going to
good of players is now.
Okay, I say that. Not names.
Maybe I'd be a big
because
upgrade.
Whitney Merciless is a name, and he got paid $54 million. But listen, play Jacob Martin every game because Jacob. You know what? We're going to have to make do. With what we're going to be able to put on the field next year, dude, we ain't fixing it.
It's like a recruiting cycle. The Texans are going to have a bad recruiting class this year. Even if they draft well, they're going to have a bad recruiting class. They had a bad recruiting class last year. It looks like, it's looking more and more like they had a really iffy recruiting class a year before. You don't do that for 3 years in a row and survive short term. I'm telling you now, you have to, and this is coming from people who are doing this in the league, who when I ask them, and these are people that I want to interview for the Texans job, and when I ask them, I said, what do you see with the Texans? They said, well, here's the problem, you always sell people on it's a 3-year process because it is. He goes, with the Texans, you know, it's probably 4 because you have to clear out the roster, and then you don't. He said, it's a really big deal not to have a first and second round pick and not to have much cap space because you can't do as much roster remake as you want in the first year. It's going to be more back end of the roster, not front end of the roster.
That said, the Dolphins were thought to be the worst organization, right? They were tanking for Tua. They ended up the fifth worst.
But it was all the picks they had, though.
But, the picks are coming up now.
And they had free agent money, so they had guys
They had 3 first rounders last year, so they had picks. They traded Minka and got a pick, a first.
Yeah, 5 first round picks in 2 years. I mean, that helps you rebuild quick.
Yeah, they signed street free agents. Some of them have hung on and are part of the roster, like Nick Needham. Others have been jettisoned. They signed legit veterans.
Rhodes has turned into a star.
Yeah, I mean, so they found guys, and
Hargraves has turned into a star. To be fair,
who
similar
to who?
To I mean, he's made as many tackles as
Xavier Howard.
Xavier Howard, not Rhodes.
They drafted him in the second round multiple years
ago. Xavier Howard he's turned into a star, and Hargraves is headed there. Lonnie's headed there.
Vernon Hargraves?
Yeah.
Vernon. Huh. Well, that one. Yeah, the guy that got cut, remember?
Yeah, the difference is
Tampa.
The Dolphins had a plan, and they executed it. Almost perfectly. Now the Texans have to find their plan.
That's right.
They have to hire the guy.
Does it include a bunch of firsts?
It doesn't.
Well,
have
not
to
really.
Be.
No,
I don't think it has to be 4 years.
No.
You cut a lot of the fat though right now, and you make some good picks.
It is going to have to take about
and
3 years.
Some
though.
Guys that will
to
know,
compete at the highest level.
Listen,
it's going to take at least 3 years.
Instead of picking up a Randall Cobb at $9 million a year, you pick up a guy that's pretty damn good at 5.
Yes.
You can actually get good football players for value.
But here's the point. When you make a bad hire, and Bill O'Brien, for all intents and purposes, was a bad hire at GM, he and Easterby, what you in essence did, and maybe Gain was a bad hire. I don't know. I mean, his draft is looking very average right now with Lonnie Johnson and Max Sharping and Titus Howard. What you do is you set your team way back, especially if they do moves that further dig holes, like trading a bunch of picks. And I'm telling you, ironically enough, for Deshaun Watson, one of the things, and this is something fans are not going to buy into right now, you're not going to believe it, but it's true. Deshaun Watson's contract is a big negative because it's only 3-year extension. And And GMs look at that and they say, great, you got four more years of Deshaun, really three, because you're going to want to do something a year in advance. And so we're paying him premium $37.5 million, and we're going to have to re-up him. Within 3 years, we're going to have to do a new contract with Deshaun that's probably going to be $50 million,
yeah,
which
but,
is and make a move on tight on Laramie Tunsil.
You've got him tied up for 4 years. He's a positive. He's a positive.
But he's not tied up for four. He's tied up for three, basically for three before you have to make another decision.
Well, that's all right. You still got him for another year, though.
It hurts your cap to go up to $50 million then.
Right. Well, no. It's going to, well, guess what? You got a premium quarterback. You're going to pay a premium quarterback. You're going to pay him. That's the league right now. That's it. I mean, if Mahomes plays out his, he's going to make 50. I mean, that's what it is. And you know what? You got a premium guy. And he's still, as much as the 3 years sucks, he's a positive for a GM. He's a real positive. 743 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We didn't finish this. So the Texans are at $13.6 million over the cap, which is 25th in the NFL. The Falcons, they need a GM and a coach. They're $24.4 million over the cap, 30th in the NFL. They could lose Alex Mack, Keanu Neal, and Todd Gurley, who all are free agents. They got the fourth overall pick and one pick in each of the first three rounds. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Chargers. And, you know, the Chargers moving in here is actually – and this is funny. This is like everybody posturing for positioning on head coaches. And you never know who the best head coach is going to be. Are we convinced that Eric Bieniemy is going to be the best head coach? I mean, what do we don't know. No one knows.
No, Eric is the...
Mike D'Antoni was the eighth, I think, seventh or eighth coach hired that offseason.
I didn't like it.
He turned out to be the best. He was the longest tenured.
Yeah, he was definitely a good coach for the
Rockets. Yes, he was a really good coach.
No question. But, no, we don't know on Eric Bieniemy. I think that's the hot name and the hot choice. He's become the... You know, the most notable name. We don't know. I tell you what, I am really intrigued by Joe Brady. He's very young, and that does not, as we said before, this team needs, and Deshaun mentioned it too, it's very obvious. People ask, do they need what do you think? Would you hire an offensive coach or a defensive coach? Because they need defensive help. At this point, I've come to realize they just need leadership. Yeah. And can you get that from a 30-something head coach? It's hard. John Gruden ended up being a good coach. Sean McVay has had success. There's been lots of coaches who have failed. Raheem Morris was in his 30s when he got his chance with Tampa. So, I mean, there's been guys who have failed and succeeded in their 30s. I don't know if Joe Brady has enough experience to be ready for this, but his ability as an offensive mind, you know, Teddy Bridgewater put together a strong year throwing the football this year. A lot of yards. I don't know if you even paid attention to him. I was like, holy crap, Teddy Bridgewater is throwing for about 260 yards a game. Yeah, and I saw what he did with Joe Burrow. I watched his offense at LSU and some of the design concepts, which I think would really benefit Deshaun. And I'm really intrigued by him because, you know, the thing is, I don't know if he's ready to be a leader of men yet, if he has enough experience, but he's been under Sean Payton. He's been with Ed O. For whatever that means, but he did have, who was the other offense coordinator there that they have? It's not Scott Linehan.
No.
Who is it?
You're making me.
Yeah, the other old.
Yeah, he was an older.
Yeah, who'd been around the NFL for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he's learned under him, and then he's learned under Matt Rhule, who I think, you know, I'm on record as what I think of Matt Rhule from a personnel standpoint, a leadership standpoint, the whole nine yards. So he actually, you know, I think as he gets more seasoning, he'll probably be a better fit in 2 years as a head coach. But to have the opportunity to get a Joe Brady, and I know that's going to be a big name to get excited about because he had Joe Burrow. But I really, from a real football standpoint, I really do have a lot of interest in Joe Brady because he's one of the rare guys out there that I think would potentially make a difference for Deshaun Watson. I don't get excited about, we need an offense coach, because Deshaun goes off schedule a lot. But Joe Brady is the kind of guy who creates single reads for you. Like, you read one safety on a combo route. And Burrow was, this is what was incredible watching Joe Burrow, because AJ asked me, what's the difference between Burrow and Mac Jones? And there's a lot of, and there are some similarities, but the difference is Burrow was able to read masterfully, like a safety, they'd have a combo route. At the mesh point of the combo route, a safety wouldn't have to make a decision. And whatever his decision made, instantaneously, boom, Burrow's attacking the other guy. And if he could get Deshaun on that same level, it takes away, you know, the idea of making a bunch of full field reads, which will slow Deshaun down and have him holding the football. I think he'll be able to attack faster and play faster. And I'm just really, and I think he's on Deshaun's, as a younger guy, I do think that's one of the rare hires at head coach that would really make a lot of sense for Deshaun Watson. It's like, does he have the leadership? Well, you know what? I don't care as much about that. If you got Papa Ozzy would run the whole building.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about it. I mean, the coach needs to be the coach. There ain't no doubt who's the head of the team if Romeo Crennel's in.
Yeah.
I mean, Romeo Crennel. If Ozzie Newsome's in. So, man, the Texans asking for permission to talk to Joe Burrow, because Joe Brady is a big deal to me, because he's one of those guys that if Matt Rhule gives him permission, I think he would look at the Texans and say, he's the kind of guy that would say, all right, I know we don't have picks or whatever, but I can do something with this guy.
Yeah,
I can do something with DW4.
Well, he doesn't need permission because he'd be moving up to head coach and their season is over. So he doesn't need any permission.
Well, unless he's already the GM and title in a sneaky New England Patriot way.
Joe Brady?
Yeah, unless they did the same Patriot contract where, for some reason, even though you're not GM, you can't.
Not head coach.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. He's OC.
He doesn't need that. But
then why do they ask for permission to interview?
Because he's under contract, I guess. But they don't.
It's a formality.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you have to ask for permission. The Panthers asked for permission for Ed Dodds.
You needed permission to talk to Bieniemy because he's still in the playoffs. And Bieniemy did virtual interviews yesterday.
And Kansas City's getting the third. Yeah. So they're like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead. Ryan Poles, you go ahead. We want
Joe
two-thirds.
Brady light-skinned? Is he?
No, he's not getting anything.
You can't. Can,
what about?
Is there a case, Dell, to be made here?
For who, Joe Brady?
Joe Brady, that we could get a third-round pick?
Who, the Panthers?
Well, the Panthers
would
get the
not
third
the
round.
Not the Texans.
We don't get the third round.
We don't.
No,
get the third.
You don't get anything.
Yeah.
Can we get a third round pick for hiring a black head coach or GM?
No. You're not.
Because I would hire, fire.
Team that hires?
You're not incentivized to hire a black head coach.
But
or
that
GM
would
with
be
picks.
Mm.
No.
So let me. Okay. You know who I really really like, and watching him last week and watching him the week before is Robert Saleh, and him being here before, he was a no nonsense guy when he was here. But it seems like the players really, really like him. He's fired up.
In a good way. Vrabel and Saleh are very similar, I think.
What Mike Vrabel has done, he wasn't a very good coordinator. Not only was he not a very good coordinator here, they were piss poor when he was the coordinator here. And he goes there, and he is a guy who seems to be a guy who is a leader of men, is a guy who guys really relate to, a guy who guys play for. They play hard for him. The way that he
they have an identity.
Game, they do. They really do. And I think Robert Saleh would be that kind of guy too.
I think he could be. He's been the one defensive guy where I think that he's a guy that changes tempo in the building, and he's a culture changer. I mean, I'm tired of just saying change culture and identity, right. But there is. I mean, but that has been an issue with the Texans for a long time.
So would it be all that horrible if it was Robert Saleh and Tim Kelly as the OC?
I mean, then you're really dependent upon who your GM is. You are anyway. So
but I saw
it might be okay.
What did we see out of Tim Kelly this year?
I think Tim Kelly and Deshaun. No, I don't think Tim Kelly did a bad job. Oh. And I know Deshaun likes him. I knew Deshaun liked him last year, but O'Brien would jump into the mix late in the week after they had installed
him. Left to his own accord, he did a pretty good job this year.
I think he did get away from the run. I think he could be. I've seen better offense coordinators.
Lance, you wouldn't have gotten away from the run with David Johnson trudging into the line like a fullback.
What do you think he averaged per carry?
He improved it greatly.
No, he was actually over 4 the whole year. They just didn't run the ball much, and he looked slow. Trust me, I was shocked.
Early on, he was over 4 a game.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Okay, I'm going to go take a look.
Look it up.
I'm going to go take a
look. I felt like it was 2, and I was like, oh, my God, he's over 4. How is he over 4 a game? 4 a carry? Not 4 a game, 4 a carry.
4 a game. 4 a game, I can see.
Yeah, I said 4 a game.
4 a game.
What did you think I meant, 4 a carry?
Right. No. So, listen.
You'll look at his games, and you'll
4.7
go.
4.7 at the end of the season.
Yeah, his final was 4.7.
I'm sorry. You and I, with our human eyes, we saw the same
go
thing.
Go look.
We saw the same damn thing that he saw.
How many carries did he have? They got away from carries a little early. You still have to try to run the football.
Okay, against Kansas City, he averaged 7 on 11 carries. Pretty good.
Yeah, that was the first game of the year.
Then he averaged 3.1.
Okay.
Then he averaged 1.8. Then he averaged 3.9, 5.6, 3.0, 3.0. You know, it's
and then what? Keep going.
But he got 19 carries at 3. He got 14 carries at 3. He got 13 carries at 1.8. 11 carries at 3.1. That's not good.
You know what's interesting?
I don't care if he averaged 4. You know what? He wasn't effective.
Did you notice what happened at the end of the year?
Yeah. No. He was much better.
Did you notice a change on the offensive line?
Yeah, right.
Charlie Heck was in place of
Howard. Was in.
Yeah. Charlie Heck might be a better run blocker than I never thought he was a great run blocker at all, but I like Titus Howard for his pass protection coming out of college. But he wasn't a great run blocker at all.
Apparently.
Charlie Heck is a better drive blocker and run blocker. He's an offensive line coach's son. He works with better pad level and bend. I just think it's interesting that they run the ball better at the end of the year. And no, the human eyes, the 4.7 is one of the most shocking numbers in football this year.
Especially if halfway through the season he was at 4, it was the worst 4 that ever.
No question. But I do think that Tim Kelly's got to be sure that he gets better balance to keep people a little bit at bay with him. But look, I'm not married to Tim Kelly. To me, go in whatever direction you have to go. But if Tim Kelly were rehired, I don't have a problem with it, because that means Deshaun has given him, you know, the go-ahead. As long as Deshaun is, and, you know, here's another thing. I like the fact that they said on the broadcast that Brandon Cooks challenged Deshaun. Deshaun said this, that Brandon Cooks goes, dude, what were you thinking right here? Why did you do this?
Yeah.
When they were watching tape, and Deshaun said he loves it. He loves that accountability. And that's why I like that Brandon Cooks, you know, as long as you have accountability, I don't care. I just want my quarterback. What you don't have in Houston with the Rockets is accountability for James. As long as Deshaun has a sense of self-accountability and those around him who are not afraid to be working in one direction, which sometimes means you have some disagreements, man, I'm cool with it. It doesn't matter. Just get it right. Just get it right. Get that attitude going in a building.
Absolutely.
I think Salah would bring that.
I agree. I like him. 757 ESPN 97.5. Rico, go back to the Rockets on the other side right here. A big loss last night to Dallas. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.